Hello, everybody, and welcome to the next episode in GSC's Rude Mechanicals. This is where we meet some of the people from our artistic teams. Those are the people who make the shows happen, the directors, the designers, the stage managers. And this week we are meeting fight director Philippe Dollion. Philippe, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Morning.
Hello. So, now, we were just chatting before we came on of how many shows you've done with GSC, and you counted 19. Wow. So it all began in 2008. And can you remember the show?
Two Gents of Verona, I think. Two Gentlemen of Verona. The director was Joanna Reed. And I think we were at the university.
Yeah.
We were in university grounds down by the lake.
Yeah, that's right. And I seem to remember there was the moment with the it was something to do with Proteus, and he grabbed hold of a throat. There was a throat grab in it, and something like that.
Yeah,
throat grab, pretty tame for what we've done over the other 18 shows.
This isn't it
together. So, Philippe, you came to us in 2008, but obviously you've been fight directing for a long, long time. Can you give us a little bit of a sort of a backstory onto how you started and also where you've been, you know, the other work that you do aside from GSC?
Sure, for sure. It was quite a long journey. I actually started back in theatre in the mid-80s. I came out of the Jersey Youth Theatre. That was where a lot of my training was. And then I became stage manager at Jersey Arts Centre for a few years. Eventually left there to go and do some travelling. And while I was travelling, I ended up in Japan. And in Japan, I started a theatre company with some friends, Hysteric Theatre.
Hysterical Theatre?
Hysteric.
Oh, Hysteric Theatre.
And it was, there were eight of us founded it. And we put on a whole bunch of shows over 4 years.
Wow.
And I got the bug for directing, and I thought maybe directing would be the career I want to try. So I enrolled on a postgrad directing program at Drama Studio London, came back to the UK after 4 years in Tokyo, and studied, took this postgrad, and then spent some time, a few years, trying to build a career as director, not getting very far with that. But while I was doing that, I had started taking stage combat classes for fun. And while I was taking all of these courses and gaining these qualifications, and I slowly slid sideways into a completely different career.
Right.
And became a fight teacher, a stage combat instructor. And after I'd gained all of the qualifications to be a teacher, I then shifted my focus to fight directing, because there's a series of qualifications to take for that as well. The highest qualification you can get is Equites Stage 3, which is basically you join Equites Register of Fight Directors. And you need to gain a whole series of qualifications, black belts in martial arts, first aid qualifications, coaching qualifications in fencing, a number of other things. And once you have those, then you're invited to join the register. And I joined in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So I had been doing fight directing prior to that for a couple of years, 3 years. But really, I count 2002 as when I became a professional. And since then, I was having a count this morning, just over 300 professional shows.
300 shows?
Yeah.
Wow. And, I mean, I know a certain amount, you know, sort of the stuff that you've done, and it's pretty varied, right? I mean, of those 300 shows, it's...
It is.
It's not all Hamlet and Laertes.
Although there is a lot of Shakespeare in that list. 1 year I had 6 Romeo and Juliets in a 7-month period.
Wow. And were they all sword or rapier, or were they all different? Like one had knives,
all completely different. Every director had a different vision. They were set in different times and places. There were about half of them were swords, but of different types. Had knives. One was slightly strange post-apocalyptic Romeo and Juliet. So there's a lot of variety. I've done quite a lot of opera.
Right. Yeah, you've worked at the Royal Opera House, haven't you?
Worked at the Royal Opera House, English National Opera, Glyndebourne, Garsington, Holland Park.
Korea?
Korean National Opera, Greek National Opera. So it's taken me around the world a little bit, which has been very pleasant. I've enjoyed that enormously. Done a lot of theatre, a little bit of television, a little bit of movie work, but primarily my work is live entertainment.
And people say to, you know, actors go, what's your favourite Shakespeare and stuff like that, or your favourite character? Is there a particular discipline that you personally enjoy working in, a medium that you enjoy working with? When someone says, we're going to do this fight and it's going to be staged like this, do you go, oh, can we do it like...
Well, in terms of between movies, TV and theatre, I definitely prefer working in theatrical environments. And when it comes to, if we were talking weapons, it's actually very hard because they're all very pleasant to work with. I like a lot of weapons, which I realise to normal people sounds a little odd, but... they all have their challenges and they all have their benefits that come with them. Really, it depends on the production. It depends on where you are, the space you have. I once did Dr. Faustus in Oslo at the Deichmanske Public Library, the main public library in Oslo. And I'm not quite sure how, but they had persuaded the library to let them use the library tables as the stage.
Wow.
So they had these beautiful wooden tables. I mean, they were really solid and thick, beautifully crafted wooden tables. And they laid them all out end to end, like a catwalk, like a model's catwalk. And they raised them all up on little metal shoes so that they were a little higher. So the stage was 3 feet wide.
Wow.
But very long, about 20 meters long. And there was one section where they had two side by side. So the stage at that point was 6 feet wide. And in Dr. Faustus, Mephistopheles conjures up Alexander the Great and another warrior to have a fight. And so we did this big broadsword fight. And these two actors were 4 feet off the ground with audience on either side of them, running up and down this catwalk with big steel broadswords.
Whoa.
And at one point, three of them fighting at the same time, two on one. It was...
Wow.
It was a big ask.
Incredible. Amazing. Yeah. I mean, memories of mine with, you know, that one sort of brings back a memory of the Canterbury Tales when we had a similar, very small dais in St. Mary's Church, and we did a sort of not quite broadsword, but fight between with Palamon and Archite from the Two Noble Kinsmen, and that tightness of, you know, of your moves is, and to make sure you're not swinging a sword into an audience who's like 2 foot away from you is quite something. But then,
Alan.
Yeah, but then you say about weapons. I think this year we gave you a first, didn't we? Or last summer we gave you a first. You've never done a fight with a space hopper.
That's right. That actually was really fun. I still tell people about that. That was very joyous. No, I had never done a fight with a space hopper. I included it on my CV specifically. Space hopper fight.
So, how do you, you know, I mean, I know it's not as simple just to say, how do you go about directing a fight, but there's a lot more to it. But could you give us a sort of a little bit of an overview of where do you, the fight director, start? What's the process for you?
So, good question, actually, because my process has changed a lot. I was reflecting this morning before we called each other, and I have, in my early days, I never planned fights before I went in. But in my early days, I would get the information I needed from the director and the actors, and then I would create the fight there and then. But it was not a very organic process. In retrospect, I feel that compared to what I do now, back then it was a fairly rigid process. If you read Peter Brook's book, The Empty Space, I think, if I'm correct in saying it's called, he talks about his early career at the RSC. He was 21 and he was invited to direct with the RSC, and he had a little, he took the model box home and he created little figures for each character. And then he literally moved them around the model box and he plotted the staging of the whole play. And then he went in and he told the actors where they needed to move on which line, where and when. And I wasn't quite that bad at the beginning of my career, but I was more rigid than I am now. Now, it's very much more organic. You go in, hopefully you've talked to the director beforehand and got a sense of how they see the show, what period they're setting it in, how they think it's going to be costumed, really what tone the piece is going to take, whether they're going to try and draw the comedy out of it a little more or whether they're going to play that down. And yeah, for example, Romeo and Juliet can actually be quite a comedic show, gradually shading towards the tragedy at the end, or it can be quite a grim show, it can be quite a gritty, nasty show, depending on how you focus it. So you get that information, you talk to the actors, you find out how they feel about their characters. And while you're talking to the actors, you're also subtly trying to assess how they feel about violence. And people have different relationships to violence and they have different histories of violence personally. And sometimes I've been working with actors who have had to take a break. I worked with one of the Sinden boys on a show once, and we had a firearm involved. And he had to take a short break. We had to take an impromptu tea break because he needs to go and just think something through, because he'd been mugged at gunpoint at one point, much earlier in his life. Having a gun, and he was the one using it, but having it in his hand brought up some stuff that he had to go and work through. So part of our process is working out the actor's mental resilience, how they feel about violence. And as we start to create the fight in these first two or three moves, you're also seeing how the actors move and getting a sense of their abilities. One of the things I enjoy about working with Guildford Shakespeare Company is that you have quite a family sense to your casting, and you have actors who come and have been through two or three productions. And the joy of that for the fight director is I know what I'm working with and I know what their capabilities are right from the beginning. And so it's easy to create fights for those actors.
Yeah, how many times have you killed me?
Quite a few, I suspect. I suspect it's more than 10.
I mean, that's
in many varied ways.
In many varied ways. I mean, I think that's the fascinating thing that I've learned about. I've learned from you. I mean, I've learned many things from you, actually, from our experiences working with you. But also your the sense that it's very much actor centered, and that it's what the actor feels safe doing, and it's their story, that the way they hold their sword, their knife, their baseball bat, their whatever it might be, and is such a collaboration when we work with you, that even though it's a well-known fight, Tybalt and Mercutio or Hamlet and Laertes or whatever, it's still, you still very much place the actors at the center and allow us to tell our story as you guide and shape it, which has been a really fascinating process to see.
The actors have to have input, because at the end of the day, they're the people up in front of the audience making it live every night. Picking up two points you said there, first of all, safety, of course. I take that so much for granted that I haven't actually even mentioned it yet. But safety is the fundamental principle all flight directors work from. Our job is to make sure that the actors can recreate the fight safely every night with a maximal level of aggression and really investing in character impulses, but knowing that they have this solid foundation of safe technique underneath them. And creating moments, always trying to think ahead. The flight director is always trying to think ahead as a health and safety professional to what might go wrong.
Hmm.
So, for example, if we're choking somebody, if we put someone in a sleeper hold, we used to give the actor a safe word until it occurred to me that actually, if I put a sleeper hold on you 12 seconds, you could be unconscious. And there's a very good chance you won't be able to say anything. So we now give you a safe gesture.
Right, yeah.
And I always encourage the actors to practice those in flight calls randomly without telling their partner and just keeping their partner on their toes so that everybody's still aware of the safety behind all of the moves that we do. And the other thing you mentioned, making the fight fit the actor. There's a story about a French movie, Le Bossu, The Hunchback. It's the remake in the 90s, I think it was. Daniel Auteuil and Vincent Perez were the actors. The fight director was Bill Hobbs. Now, Bill Hobbs is the grandfather of British fight directing. He changed fight directing totally. Right. He made it, when you look at the films that he was involved with, Zeffirelli's Romeo and Juliet, Polanski's Macbeth, a whole series. He did the Three Musketeers and the Four Musketeers, the Richard Lester ones. He made fighting look realistic. He moved it away from the Hollywood swashbuckling style, which is perfectly valid in and of itself, but those fights were created by fencing coaches,
right,
and Olympic fencers, and like Fred Cavins, for example. And Bill Hobbs created these styles that were more responsive to the historical periods, to the style of weapon that you had, and to the storytelling. So anyway, Le Bossu. Was it Le Bossu? No, actually, I got that wrong. It was Cyrano de Bergerac. Cyrano de Bergerac with Gérard Depardieu.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Michel, I remember that. Yeah.
Michel Carlier was a French fight director, and he was being used to train Depardieu. He was trying to train Depardieu in this very classic French rapier style. Very elegant, very stylized, deals with long lines, beautiful to look at. But when you look at Depardieu, he's a bear of a man. He's this big dude. And his style, he just doesn't move like that. Hmm. He moves like a barroom brawler. He's got big shoulders and big fists. And when Bill Hobbs finally arrived and to start shooting, and he looked at a couple of the training sessions, and he said, it just doesn't fit him. It's not his style. And he completely re-choreographed everything.
Wow.
To fit his physique. And he created a Cyrano that was much more physical and
earthier.
Much
more... Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Wow, that's fascinating. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, the experiences I've had with you is just very much like that. That kind of, what are we going to do today? What's your character like? Do you like him? Do you not like him? Do you wield things easily? Do you know, all of those sort of conversations is we're kind of a revelation to realize how much input an actor can have into the fight. And I remember doing Hamlet, my first one with you as Laertes, and Ben Ashton, the actor playing Hamlet, and we you know, we were in the studio and you were sort of asking us, who do you think would win this point? Who do you think would win the next point? Although there's a script to it, it's kind of, you know, is Laertes a bit dirty? Would he do something wrong? Would he kind of, you know, get in there? Or does he uphold the strict sort of codes of fencing and stuff like that? So that, for me as an actor, was a fascinating, you know, sort of revelation into a whole world that I knew nothing about, in a sense. No.
It makes the fight director's life much easier as well, purely because then everything becomes unique, because everything becomes about that person and that character's backstory, and whether they have fight training, and if they do, what kind of training is it? Was it military training, or was it a noble being trained by a private trainer, or is it dirty street fighting that they've picked up through a life of scrabbling around in poverty?
Or is it a space hopper? Or is it anything you can get your hands on in the garden?
Or is it a whisk or a rolling pin? Yeah, all of those good things.
Philip, you were saying there about safety, and you know, obviously safety is paramount, and it's the prime thing of all of this work. We obviously work very differently to how you work in a normal theatre, in the sense that we're quite often, well, we're never in a normal theatre. We're in a church, we're in some gardens, we're in a Spiegel tent, we're, you know, in places where theatre isn't usually seen. Does that bring additional challenges to your role as fight director?
It does. In an odd sense, it's more like doing TV or film, because effectively you're on location.
Yeah.
And you have to take the location into account. On one level, it gives you additional elements to include. So you'll have treads or pillars that you can run around, or pews that you can incorporate into your storytelling, your physical storytelling. But of course, it brings other safety considerations. Each venue has to be very carefully risk assessed, and each church, for example, you have a different size space, you have more or less light. It depends. If you're outside, you have to take into account wet weather. Fights have to be weatherproofed, so we create a wet weather version of a fight, which is usually simplifying footwork, slowing the fight down to about half speed, sometimes losing props or using different props. So GSC's work definitely brings more considerations than being in a theatre in a rehearsal room.
And before we wrap up, are there any particular favourite moments or things that you're particularly proud of or remember with great fondness from your time, your 19 shows with GSC?
Quite a few. It's hard to pick. Gemma's Julius Caesar. It was a very physical cast, and so she cast them for their physical theatre abilities, and it was a real pleasure to work with them and create some of those fights that were very active. And also, we created a kill that I was particularly proud of. I think it was Brutus's suicide. Two, 3 feet from the audience on that little catwalk, that runway between the audience on either side, and at speed, this incredibly convincing kill. And I learned from that and developed a couple of other kills in similar styles, which I've used in other shows since. It was a really creative process for me, that show. Also, Caroline's King Arthur, working with Noel, who I've worked with many times, and we created some great fights in there. He had a quarterstaff, and we had quarterstaff and broadswords, and we had pits, and we were hanging people over pits. It had a real sense of danger and jeopardy to it. And Charlotte's Macbeth, we just did this year, I think. I didn't get to see the show, but what I saw in tech and what I've seen in the pictures and the online content that you shared looked amazing. And the guys did a fantastic fight of the job. It was extremely physical and aggressive. I think, great show.
It really was. And our audiences really appreciated it from that point of view as well, that sense of that sort of immediacy and power on stage. I think for me, I mean, we've done so many together. You know, what I find fascinating is the balance. Well, so yeah, the balance or the mix between, like you say, these really incredible physical, you know, quite, you know, terrifying fights at times, whether it's with a sword. You know, I remember being Edgar and Edmund and the sort of going for the eye, going to eye gouge the, you know, my half brother who killed my father in it. And some of the sort of blood bags in the mouth and all of that sort of stuff. But also with the other crazy kind of, like we mentioned the space hopper, but then, you know, I remember with great fondness the battle for Toad Hall in The Wind in the Willows, which was done to Ravel's Bolero, and this kind of semi-balletic kind of crazy fight with, you know, fruit and plates and Toad just spending the whole time underneath a sheet. But
that was a lovely fight. That was it's actually slow flow or slow motion fighting, such a joy, because you get to hit actors in the face for real. Because you can make contact, because it's
safely.
So slow. And it's safe and it's light, but it looks wonderful.
Yeah, that was such great fun. Now, I should say as well that, or am I okay to say, that you have a book?
I do.
Coming out?
It's called Unarmed Stage Combat. It's being published by Crowwood Press sometime in late summer, probably July, August time. And it has photos from quite a few GFP shows. Thank you for those.
Thanks for including us.
And it's, yes, it went to the typesetters just yesterday.
Amazing. Well, we shall definitely keep our eyes peeled for that. And if you want to know more about stage combat, unarmed combat, is that what it's about largely?
Unarmed stage combat.
Then keep your eyes peeled. I'm sure we'll be tweeting and putting out on social media once it's been released and stuff like that. Philip, it's been an absolute joy and a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you so much for taking this time, and wish you the very, very best.
You're welcome. Thank you. Pleasure.